A prophetic good morning, dear listeners. A prophetic good morning, TPVGM Ministry. This is Bishop Alexander MCK Chileshe with your Sunday live service. We are thankful for life to God, so let us just give a quick prayer. Say, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for life. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your provision. Abba, Father, we even thank you for this divine day that we are able to come before your throne of grace and mercy to just worship you in adoration, worship you in total surrender. We ask and pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen and amen. We are looking at a sermon titled Love today. And we're going to be drawing our strength from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. Or if you like, 1 Corinthians 13,113. Before I get into that, I would like to give a sermon illustration story. As most may know, I'm Zambian by birth. Yeah, the Lord has been faithful that I've lived in a couple of countries, both in the corporate world and trying to expand the kingdom advancement or the kingdom frame. Currently reside in the land or the country of Namibia, and I want to give you a sneak peek of my experience in Namibia, where I've been for the past 5 years. You see, Namibians are lovely people. There are quite a number of tribes, but they're dominant tribes such as the Hereros, such as the Oshawambos, such as the Namas, the Damaras. These are dominant tribes that are spoken from each and every corner, and of course the Africans community. Now, as a servant of God in Namibia who is foreign, it has proved one thing, that people carry their past experiences with them into the present and into the future. Allow me to expound slightly or a bit on what I'm trying to say. You see, most Namibians believe that every man or woman of God that is foreign that comes to this country comes with evil intentions. They have a perception that where you're coming from, it's either you're poor or you're a magician or you're a witch doctor, and you have come to rip off the Namibian people. Now, this can be right in certain instances, of course, like any other country anywhere in the world, okay? But at the same time, it is cardinal to know that you cannot take away the element of love for each and every single person that comes in your space as a foreigner. It becomes a challenge. So I'm drawing my strength, or the strength of this sermon today, from this experience that I have had. It has been hard for so many Namibians to understand that I have come to this country and I've been here for 4.5 years, and I'm not dependent on any man or woman when it comes to finances. I am dependent on God, who provides my provision for myself and my family on a daily basis. They find it hard to accept that a servant of God who is foreign can come and he or she is already financially stable. They find it hard to believe that a man or woman of God who is foreign can come to this country and be of a good standing family name back in their country where they come from. And for this reason, they exhibit hate towards a foreign servant of God. They apply everything in the negative when they look at a foreigner. When a foreigner comes and wants to, for instance, marry a man who is Namibian indigenous, or wants to get or to marry a woman who is Namibian indigenous, people begin to negate negativity. They begin to speak to these people and say, listen, you cannot involve yourself with a foreigner because of A, B, C, D. One, we are told that they are witches where they come from. Two, we are told that they will rip you off financially. We are told that they will ask you to sell off your house. We are told that they will disconnect you from your family. We are told that they will kill your family members through magic. We are told A, B, C, D. They begin to negate the negativity and in turn take away the element of love and exhibit the element of hurt. Glory. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13 reads, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, which I believe speaks a better language when it comes to this scripture, or to this verse, to this chapter. And it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I did not love others, I would have gained nothing. And verse 4 goes on to say, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. 7 says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Verse 8 says, prophecy, and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and responded as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. And 13 says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these three things, Bible says, is love. Glory. Now, chemistry tells us that love is a phenylamine or a natural stimulant that behaves like an amphetamine, also known as a molecule of love. It is often associated with butterflies we feel when we are around our crush. It is our first attraction to someone that causes our brain to release these high levels of the PEA that I spoke about. Interesting. I should say. On the other hand, which is on the entire truth, the Bible tells us that love stands more than just a romantic attraction or strong feeling towards those close to us. It also stands for three things: the truth, respect, and obedience. As believers in Christ Jesus, we hold these three things for God. The word Jesus used for love is the verb form of agape. And the pattern of our love is as I have loved you. In other words, we are to be known by our self-giving, sacrificial, unconditional love for one another. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, as I was reading, describes such love. Looks like, or practically speaking, in three terms, or we can say from 3 to 7 terms, and these are the types of love he was expressing. These are the love that we know. They're beginning from the love known as eros, which refers to a physical or sexual love. The word eros is commonly used in the Greek-speaking world of the New Testament times. The word itself is not found in the pages of the New Testament. But the concept of physical love, however, expressed in the context of marriage, is found and affirmed in the New Testament according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. It's also found in Hebrews 13, verse 4. Okay, so eros, we underline that first love. The second type of love that is being spoken of or exhibited in 1 Corinthians 13 is the love known as filial love. This is a warm affection or a love of friendship. Filial was commonly used in the references to friends or family relationships. For example, it was used in Matthew chapter 10 verse 37 to indicate love for father and mother or son and daughter. Filial was the word used as Jesus's love for his friend Lazarus exhibited in John chapter 11 verse 3 to 36. And his love for his disciples in John 20 verse 2, thereabout. Okay, and this filial love I relate to stooge love, which means devotion. Stooge is not a common word in the New Testament, but then we find it, or we bump in it when we get to Romans 12. Verse 10. It is compounded with philostrogia or philosgoi or philos, and can be translated as devoted or brotherly affection. Now follow me to the third and most important love, which is agape. This is known as the sacrificial unconditional love of God. Hello. In the New Testament, agape is the highest form of love that has been explained or given on the platter. But outside of the New Testament, the word was rarely used. Prior to the New Testament times, agape did not carry any special significance as a higher kind of love. Thus, in the New Testament, understanding of the unique nature of God's love, not the word's usage in the Greek-speaking world of the first century, that gives the word agape its special meaning. Follow me. Agape is the word that describes God's love in John 3 verse 16. God loved the world in this way. We are commanded to love God in Matthew 22, okay? And to love one another. John 13, with agape love. Agape love is the word for love used in the scripture of 1 Corinthians 13 that I just read. Now, tell me, how does it benefit you to carry a hurt in you on a daily basis and put love on the side? How does it benefit you as a human being, as a person? Okay, to hate a person you've never met before, a person you've never acquainted yourself, you've never sat nor interacted nor talked with them. You look at them for the first time and you equate them as a foreigner and you hate them. You place a symbol on them and you say, I hate that person, without you knowing that you've actually said it. But your motive behind your action, or your action towards them, says the language hate. And excludes the language of love. And you go on in a, on your everyday life and you call yourself a believer in Christ Jesus. You call yourself a church goer. You call yourself a Christian. Listen, I'd like to slap you with the truth. And the truth is that if you exhibit those things, that's how you live your life, that's how you've been doing things, then that means you've got no love in you. I'm sorry to break it down to you, but when you've got no love in you, it means a couple of things. It means that you carry the devil inside you, number one. Number two, it means that you are imprisoned by the shackles of the devil himself. Number three, it means that you are nowhere close to being in a relationship with God or God the Holy Spirit. You are nowhere in understanding who Christ Jesus is. Don't even believe in the Trinity. Hello. You cannot even begin to believe in the cross or the works of the cross. The life's truth is that to say that agape love is the highest form of love is not to say that other kinds of love are insignificant or trivial. But even when you're going up the building and you're not using an elevator, you're using a staircase, you have to start from the very first step to go to step 2, 3, 4, 5 and all the way up. And right now I'm saying that your step one is the love of God, which is the sacrificial and conditional love known as agape love. As educated as I am, both in the theological world and in the corporate industry, I have chosen to serve the Lord. I moved from one country to another to serve the Lord because of love, not because of where I'm coming from. I am poor, or I'm a non-entity, or I'm a demon. I do this because I exhibit love, the love that God is talking about. I do this because I believe of the commissioning, go thee to the world and preach the word. I could stay in my country and enjoy the luxuries of the family. I could stay in my country and enjoy of being in my comfort zone, where I am protected by the physical world. But I choose to be protected by the supernatural world. I choose to be driven by the love of Christ Jesus that he showed at the cross of Calvary. I choose to be called names so that I can touch one life out of 100 lives. Bring them to Christ. I choose love so that I can free somebody from bondage of sin, from the bondage of adultery. So that I can free somebody from the bondage of miscarriages. So that I can free somebody from the bondage of hurt. So I want to give it to you in black and white today, my brother, my sister, dear brethren, that if you've been living in the shackles of the enemy, and where hate has been exhibited more than love, I want you to turn around today, repent and walk, begin to walk in light and walk in love. You cannot afford to carry the devil on your back. That is too much of a burden, too heavy to carry. Believe me, you are better off loving somebody who betrays you tomorrow and you still love them going forward than going on hating people, because that the burden of hurt is a bigger burden. It's a heavier burden than anything else. So I speak forth over your life that may love go forth, may the agape love, may the unconditional and sacrificial love speak in all your actions, in all the words that you utter out of your mouth, from all the thought, from the negative thought that you have had, may love speak forth. May the Lord's name be glorified and praised in Jesus' mighty name. We thank God for today's word. May the good Lord richly touch you, bless you with the love known as agape love. As you go on with your walk in the month of September this year, 2021, remember that we are receiving every good fruit from our obedience that we have posed and shown in the past season. Shalom, shalom, shalom.